little bit later on when Raf joins us. But I'm delighted to say I'm being joined now by a brand new guest to World Football Daily. We love it when people make their debuts on the show, and this guy, no exception. He's a man who actually tracked us and asked us if he could he could come on. We had a look at his stats and said, wow, this is actually, why is he, we should have been tracking you down. Joining us on the show today, I'm delighted to say, making his World Football Daily, Mr. Frank Tigani, Italian football writer for footballitalia.net, joining us on the show, making his debut. Frank, how are you today, mate? It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board and to have you on the show.
Very good, thank you. And all about yourself?
I am very well indeed, my man, very well indeed. We haven't checked into Italian football for a few weeks now on this show. I've been so busy with what's been going on in Spain and in England as well. And obviously the Gold Cup and Major League Soccer continuing. It's good to get back to some Italian roots. First and foremost, before we start though, Frank, I've got to ask you a question. In Italian football, who's your side?
Who's my side? Oh, Milan, I have to admit.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to get on like a house on fire then, because when Giancarlo Rinaldi comes on this show and talks Fiorentina, you know, it's tough. It's frustrating to listen to him go on and on about how the attractive football they're playing. And it's so nice to see Mario Balotelli in an AC Milan shirt turning on the style for us. With that said then, we're obviously going to get on like a house on fire, I'm sure. With Italian football, it's never ever a decent summer unless there's a slight bit of scandal going on. And the FIGC confirming that Lazio, Genoa and Lecce will all face various charges for their part in Calcio Scommessi, the Italian football match-fixing scandal. What are we looking at here in terms of repercussions for these sides? Lazio are facing multiple charges, unlike the other two, correct?
Yes, there's a couple of... they're facing multiple charges. And I think across the three clubs, there are eight players that could face bans. Stefan Mauri, the captain of Lazio, could be facing the harshest ban. It could be up to 5 years if he's found guilty of match-fixing or reporting... failure to report match-fixing anyway. So he could be up for 5 years. So there's various penalties across the three clubs that could be handed out. And yeah, it's, like you said, it's very disappointing because this is now the third summer in a row that point deductions will most likely be handed out to an Italian club or various Italian clubs. So yes, it is a bit disappointing, but nothing. It's a very a normal Italian summer. That's what we can say, I suppose.
At least it's ticking on as normal. But for someone like Lazio, this sort of sanction could be extremely detrimental. I mean, we saw how close it was last season between the Europa League spots and making that and not making that and not having Europe to play for. And a points deduction for Lazio could be a huge hamper to them trying to make a Europa League push or even further for next season.
Absolutely. Obviously, it's going to make everything a little bit more difficult. You know, attracting players is going to be harder. Obviously, you need to make up the points deduction throughout the season. And, you know, they have to think about, you know, teams like Fiorentina, Napoli. They've strengthened already quite a lot this summer. And Lazio haven't done so. And if anything, some of their players are sort of, some of their best players are reported to be on the verge of leaving. Antonio Candreva is one of them. Last couple of days, apparently Milan have met with his agent. So yeah, it's not a good time for Lazio, and they've been involved in the Calcio Scommessi for the last couple of seasons, and not a good summer for them at all.
And as you said, it's rearing its ugly head again, these scandals in Italian football. I mean, are we getting to a point though where we don't have to worry about this? Obviously, this isn't anything new in Italian football, but at the same time, this is digging up old bones, if you will, this investigation. Are we getting to a point where we can start look ahead to the future of Italian football and not having to worry about these match-fixing scandals? Or do you think it's still a real threat, a real danger in Serie A?
It's a very good question. Italian football, you know, is a very complicated animal. And I think up until 2006, the Calcio Poli scandal in that summer, when Italy won the World Cup, of course, you know, that's really started the ball rolling. I think there is a genuine effort, at least. You know, obviously, it's bad to hear about all these different scandals happening over and over again in Italian football. It's definitely not good for, you know, the world reputation of Italian football. But, you know, I think there is a genuine effort to try to clean it up, because the fact of the matter is, for a long, long time, Italian football has, you know, been involved in sort of unsavory activities. And so, you know, I think it's a good thing. Are we getting close to getting rid of the, you know, the all the dirty laundry. I'm not sure. I think there's probably, you know, I don't think it's going to be crystal clear or, you know, completely clean in a few years' time. But I mean, I think it's going to be a long process and slowly but surely. But yes, yeah.
It's obviously something that we don't like to see in football, but we do have to talk about it. Let's talk about some of the positives in Italy. And of course, yeah, the transfer rumours continue to fly around at the moment. A big one for Roma is the potential signing of PSV Eindhoven's Kevin Strootman. First and foremost, Dutch players in Italian football have had a mixed bag in general. And Strootman, especially coming from PSV Eindhoven, has been very successful. But is he ready to make that step up to a Roma side that there's going to be a lot of pressure on next season to do far better than they did last?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, AS Roma, you know, the recent, 2 years being taken over by the American conglomerate of Thomas Benedetto, they have a very ambitious club. They've recently just said, I think it was last month, James Pelotta, the president, he said that they want to be the number one club in the world, and it's a long-term project. But the thing is, you know, they need to qualify not for Europe, for the Champions League, because the Champions League is a cash cow. You know, you're going to and that money is vital for their projects. They're planning to build a new stadium in a couple of years' time, so they need to qualify. They need to make the top three. So yes, for this reason, there's going to be lots of pressure on anyone who arrives at the club next year. Is Strootman ready? I think Strootman's a fantastic player. He's very promising, but already a fantastic player. And I think, you know, Italian football is not as competitive as it used to be, so it might just be a good place for him to start his foreign adventure, if you like. Is Roma the right club? I think Roma, you know, they play attractive football. They at least try to play attractive football. And, you know, Strootman being Dutch, I think he could fit into the system there. We don't know too much about Rudy Garcia, but, you know, that's definitely what Roma are going to try to do next year. They're going to try to win and win in style.
And we heard as well that Pelotta came out the other week and said with Roma that everybody is potentially a transfer target for other clubs. I mean, are we taking Totti and Daniele De Rossi out of this, or are we looking at a season? There was so much talk about De Rossi leaving last year. Are we looking at a season where De Rossi could now be out of the capital?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a fantastic thing when your president says that. I think it puts unnecessary pressure on players, and, you know, it only can spark more transfer rumors at this time of the year. But obviously, I definitely think with Totti, I mean, he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to stay for one more year. He's recently just said that, you know, this will be my last Roma jersey. But, you know, in regards to the Daniel De Rossi case, I think there's a very good chance he might leave for foreign shores. I think Chelsea has been mentioned, Manchester City have been mentioned, and I wouldn't be surprised Real Madrid as well with Carlo Ancelotti, the Italian connection there now. So I think if he ever is going to leave at 29, he's going to leave this summer, for sure.
Would that surprise you if he did? Because he was the guy that was picked to take the mantle on from Totti, to be that homegrown boy who would spend his career at Roma and lead them once Totti left.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been billed as that. And I think, you know, for Italian football and for Roma, it would be a shame to see him leave. He's certainly, you know, one of the most talented players in the peninsula. And, you know, his departure would be a big loss for the league in general. But I think, yes, for Rome in particular, it would be a big loss. He's the new, you know, he's the new captain in waiting. You know, for this reason, you know, he's got, with his experience at the club, I think, you know, you can't go out and buy another player who can bring the same qualities, you know, to the team. And I think that team, you know, there's lots of new players, lots of young players, new coach this year. I think, you know, Daniel De Rossi's experience would be vital. Personally, I think I'd be surprised to see him go. But obviously, on a personal basis for him, you know, maybe he might want to, you know, challenge himself, you know, because like I said, you know, this is probably his last chance at 29 to sort of make that move abroad and, you know, try himself in another league and maybe, you know, aim for, you know, bigger honours elsewhere. So, but yeah, definitely, I think it would be a big blow. It would be a big blow.
Let's stick with the side that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, and of course your beloved and my beloved AC Milan. Galliani, as you mentioned, has been supposedly meeting with Antonio Candreva's agents to discuss this move away from Lazio, and part owned by Udinese, part owned by Lazio. Candreva. With this in mind, Milan, is this ship kind of settled now? There was all the talk about Allegri's job potentially being in doubt, and obviously it was a nightmare start to last season, and the end of the season finished strongly for them, thankfully. How settled is this Milan ship now compared to last summer?
Well, I think obviously with Max Allegri staying, that's and you know, there's been speculation pretty much since he arrived in Milan 3 years ago about his future. But I think there's no speculation this summer, or at least very, very little. And I think this is you know, a good thing. This is, has brought some stability to the club. As far as being settled, I think the club still, you know, in regard to transfers, are on the lookout, you know, four new players. But the thing is, they don't want to spend money, or at least they're not going to spend money until they sell a few players. And obviously we all know that Santos have just recently pulled out of the negotiations to sign Robinho, citing that Milan are asking for too much. And Kevin Prince-Boateng, who's probably one of the most marketable players and who is one player that they would be willing to let leave, there has been very few rumours surrounding his future as well. So, you know, they've all kind of died down. So as it stands, Boateng is a Milan player, and so is Robinho.
It's quite peculiar that Boateng hasn't received that many suitors, because has played so well and has been an outstanding star since joining at the San Siro. We've seen him score, of course, in the Champions League and in Serie A as well. What's holding people off from making putting in any interest in any bids in for him, do you think?
Yeah, well, it is an interesting point. I think you know, his first season was fantastic. I think he's but last season, you know, he sort of dropped down a bit. I think without Zlatan Ibrahimovic around, he did look a little bit lost. But at the same time, you have to feel for him, because obviously Milan had a terrible start to the season and they changed their system, their formations quite a few times. And Boateng, as a result, you know, he's quite a flexible player. You know, he can play in the midfield, you know, in the centre or on the right side, and he can play up front as well as a trequartista or, you know, as a right winger. So he was moved around a lot. So, you know, given the season, given the troubles that the club had, and given how, you know, he was, you know, 1 week playing here, 1 week playing there, 1 week even on the bench, I think, you know, he's just become a little bit unsettled. And I think that sort of rattled his, maybe confidence, but, you know, also certainly contributed to his lack of consistency last year. And that's a big shame, because, like I just said, if Milan can say one player who they could probably get a tidy sum for, it would be Boateng. But, you know, as it stands, there's not many rumors at all that he might leave, so I can't see it happening.
A big arrival though for Milan could be all depending on how well he does in Italy, of course. It could be the Japanese playmaker from CSKA in Moscow, Honda. Saw him do so well in the Confederations Cup for Japan. Really was a prominent player for them during their brief appearance in the group stage. Honda for Milan for a free. It fits the bill, doesn't it, for Milan? It's not going to cost them anything apart from wages. We'll be arriving in January. But also a very talented, skillful midfielder with great passing ability that would seemingly appear to fit Serie A quite nicely with its pace.
Absolutely, I completely agree. I mean, Honda is not a spring chicken, but he's not old either. But like you say, he's very technically gifted. And I think for this reason, and he's not particularly fast as well. So I think for this reason, he'd be perfect for the Serie A. And I think he'd be perfect for Milan too. Milan sort of lack those sort of creative players. Of course, there's Riccardo Montolivo in the midfield. But, you know, with Nocerino and De Jong, they've got lots of sort of, you know, sort of hardened midfielders, but they don't really have any true creative players. And Honda is one of those. You know, he can link up the midfield and the forward, and you know, he's got that sort of X factor that can sort of twist a match. And obviously, being Japanese, I think it's also very good for Milan as far as marketing purposes goes, because as we've seen in the case of Kagawa, you know, signing and Park Manchester United many years ago, you know, it does help you, increase your brand in the Far East. But yeah, he could be a great signing. He's free. I'd like to see him very much come to Milan.
It's it'd be interesting to see, of course, how he does when he arrives in Serie A. So many people fail, so many people thrive when they come to Italy. It's almost like a 50-50 kind of call when they come. Just finally, before we leave you, Frank, and we do appreciate you taking the time out to join us here today, two quick questions. I'll roll them into one for you, so it's nice and easy. Out of the moves that could be taking place this weekend, Jovetic to Manchester City or Cavani to PSG, barring his medical on Monday, which one is going to have a bigger impact on the team they leave, Napoli or Fiorentina?
Well, I think they're both going to have big impacts, but you know, there's that sort of conveyor belt of strikers. You know, there hasn't been that big signing yet that's happened in Milan in Europe that sort of triggered, you know, the moving about of these strikers. Higuain is included in this group. As far as an impact in the market, I think Cavani is going to have the biggest impact, because I think if Cavani goes to PSG, there's a certain Zlatan Ibrahimovic there already. And in the paper today here in Spain, they did say that Ibrahimovic was actually offered to Real Madrid. So I could see this happening. I could see perhaps Ibrahimovic leaving, because, you know, Ibrahimovic and Cavani, I'm not so sure if they could play together. Obviously, we always say great players can always play together. But Ibrahimovic is a certain type of player. When he's the man up front, the team is built around him. And we saw that last year with PSG. The whole team sort of played for Ibrahimovic. And he carried that team to the league title. I think if Cavani comes in there, I think they're going to be stepping on their each other's toes a little bit. So I think you could see maybe Ibrahimovic leave. As far as Jovic to Manchester City, I think it's very likely to happen. But I don't think it's going to trigger. I don't think it's going to have a major impact in what else happens in the transfer window.
But a big impact, though, on Fiorentina's squad. That's a big player they're going to be missing for next season.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a young player. He's a fantastic talent. He sort of dropped off a little bit last year. He had a few sort of injury problems, but nonetheless, he's a fantastic player. And in general, he's going to be a big loss for Serie A. But in saying that, they have announced today they're very close to signing Ilicic from Palermo for less than 10 million euros. And Mario Gomez is 27, and he's a fantastic striker. I mean, very much opinion is divided on that guy, but he's 27 years old. In 115 games in the Bundesliga, he scored something like 75 for Bayern Munich. It's a fantastic scoring rate. So I think he could do very well at Fiorentina and sort of make up for the loss of Jovic. But still, I don't think it's going to be enough. Losing Jovic is going to be a big loss for Fiorentina, especially as they try to, make the Champions League next year as well.
I tell you what, Frank, Rafael, our producer, is not going to like you praising Mario Gomez. Absolutely detests the guy, but you can't argue with that scoring rate, can you?
Frank, like I said, he's a man that divides opinion, doesn't he?
Very much so, very much so. Yeah. Even here at World Football Daily, splitting us down the middle. Frank, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on board today for a very brief chat about the transfer going on in Italy right now. We hope to check in back with you later on this summer. And I guess we could talk to you a little bit about some Spanish as well, seeing as you are based actually in Madrid, still covering the Italian football there.
Yeah, obviously, given my background and, Milan is my favourite team, I'm a Serie A fan first and foremost. But, I live in Spain and I read the Spanish papers every day. So whenever you like, you can just give me a call.
You can't avoid it, that's for sure. Frank, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. We will we'll make sure that you get all the links out to have a look at them and listen back to yourself here on World Football Daily. And I tell you what, mate, you've definitely made the starting 11. We definitely will be bringing you back into our side later on in the season, mate. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Oliver. Thank you.
Have a great day. Big thanks there to Frank Tigani. Tigani sounds like a French rugby player, actually. Jean Tigani.
Tigani.
Yeah.
I am big. I am bold. I will take you down.